Transgender policies in schools have created camps of very vocal supporters as well as opponents. These two camps clashed recently in Egg Harbor Township, New Jersey, over proposed policies regarding transgender students. My next guest was part of the opposition, which led to the defeat of these planned policies. He is president of the New Jersey Family Policy Council and NJ Family First. Len Dio, thanks for being here today, Len.
You're welcome, Chris.
And learn more about this issue and the work of the New Jersey Family Policy Council. The website is njfpc.org. So lay out some background for us first. What were the proposed policies regarding transgender students in the Egg Harbor Township School District?
Right. Well, what it would have done, the originally the proposed policy would have opened up the locker rooms, bathrooms, and other mixed gender issues where you have a male or female facility. And then if somebody identified, if they were actually a male but identified as a female, then they would have the right to access those particular facilities. Now, that becomes very problematic for us because there's about 99.5% of the student population that is not transgendered, and they would have to be subject to what we believe is an invasion of their privacy.
And there have been people, not to make this sound like a mocking or oversimplification, but many people have said, hypothetically, you can get a, well, shall we say, overly active in the hormone department 17-year-old boy trying to con his way into the girls' locker room.
Well, that's a possibility. I think in the school system, it's probably remote. Really, what we're trying to do here is not so much that as much as it is to protect the students, because as we know, at the high school age, a lot of students feel very awkward in, you know, the situation of even having to take showers with same-sex people in their, you know, in their class. So to introduce a person that is of the opposite sex but claiming to be of the same sex, we think becomes a very, very difficult situation for the vast majority of students. So that's why we're standing up, Chris. We're standing up for those students and also for parents. I mean, parents are concerned about what happens in the schools with regards to the privacy and safety of their children.
And playing devil's advocate here, too, these policies, by the way, they sounded to me, as well as with other school districts across the country, I don't think proper attention is being paid to the fact that you're placing the transgender student into into a greater hostile situation than they're already experiencing, unfortunately, in the schools. I mean, a transgender has their identity confusion, doubts, questions, and level of discovery. So to put them in this, what will be no doubt an extremely hostile, argumentative, and maybe even in some cases dangerous situation, I don't think that part of the equation is being paid enough attention to. But when you look at how did the school board versus the population treat these ideas? What was the reaction, response, pro, con, or curious?
Right. Well, obviously, I was there at the meeting, and a couple of our people have been at previous meetings. And we worked very closely with the parents and a number of pastors in and around the Egg Harbor Township area. So what we're seeing there is the attorney for the school board is really the person that's been driving this policy. And I think there were obviously a couple of the board members that were in favor, but obviously when the vote finally was taken, which was really surprising to us because we were originally told that evening was only going to be open for discussion, or actually that the policy was not even on the agenda. But then one of the board members that was in favor of it actually moved a motion to vote on the policy. And once there was a second, I guess it was the board president decided to take a vote. So, but I think what's happening here, I think in most cases, I think school board members are somewhat uncomfortable. This is just my own perception. I'm not speaking for anybody. But I think they're uncomfortable with this being pushed in the manner that it is. You know, we've seen it in other school board districts, school districts in the state of New Jersey. Rutherford was one where parents came out in force, but the board didn't have anything to do with listening to them, and they went ahead and they passed the policy. Down in the Toms River area, there were a couple of school boards that also wanted to pass this type of policy, but the parents came out in force, and they were more amenable to listening to the parents' concerns and basically tabled the policy. So this is what we're seeing. I don't think it's so much hostility on the point of a school board member as much as feeling like they're caught between a rock and a hard place, so to speak. Now, that said, we know that the current administration in Washington has rescinded the policy, which originally started all this, which, you know, said that they had to pass transgender-friendly policies, otherwise they were liable to lose federal funding. Now, the federal funding that most school districts get is a very small percentage of their budget, most of the dollars coming from local property taxes and from the state as well. But now it changes the whole situation with the current administration now rescinding that order. And I believe President Trump also said that he was going to leave it to the states. So it continues.
We're talking with Len Dio, who is the president of New Jersey Family Policy Council and NJ Family First. On the web, it's njfpc.org. And you're listening to Issues and Ideas. And on that note of the president and the federal government returning the issue to the states, we have, at least at this point in time, 13 state legislatures who want the Board of Education, the Secretary of Education, at least the acting one at this point in time, to craft a statewide policy. Is that the right thing to do? Is this maybe the call for an open, detailed study, debate, discussion, so that these rushing to a policy conclusion can be avoided and negative can be replaced by something with a little more sanity, balance, and sensibility?
Yeah, I agree with you 100% on that. I think it's really critically important that any type of policy that's enacted or proposed, that they hear from parents predominantly about their concerns. Now, obviously, you have some parents that have a transgender child, and they're going to support that policy. But my question is, when you have this conflict now, you have supporting a transgender policy and supporting privacy and protection for the students who are not involved in this situation, who prevails? And so what we're looking at right now is that it would be a very, very small minority which would force the vast majority to accommodation. And we don't think that that's a good thing. We think there can be better ways to solve this this problem and hear the concerns of both sides.
Well, certainly the end goal being some sort of integration versus ostracization.
Yeah, I mean, I think that would be the proper way to go, but I don't think forcing the vast majority of students to have to be put in these very uncomfortable situations would be a good thing.
Well, as they say, to be continued and to be determined. And
yes,
to learn
sir.
More about this policy and the work of the New Jersey Family Policy Council, their website is njfpc.org. He is their president, Len Dio. Len, thanks so much for educating us on this matter and for being here today.
Chris, I'm here anytime, and I consider it a privilege to be talking with you.